Okay, so just to briefly say a little bit to introduce Maseches Nazir, there is a discussion what exactly it is that Nazir is doing in Seder Nashim, but however you understand it, and the Gemara talks about it in the beginning of Nazir, but there is certainly a logical hemshech, a logical continuation, that Nazir is associated with Nedarim. So the idea that you have Nedarim before Nazir, that's easily understood. And that reflects the fact that Naziris is a Neder. It's called a Neder Isser. And it is a Neder that, by its very nature, brings on certain prohibitions upon the person who takes it. And therefore, for that reason, one who would violate the Neder of Naziris would get two sets of Malkus. He would get a Malkus because he's in violation of Neder, of Bayachal Dvaro, so the whole theme of Maseches Nedarim would be just as relevant to him. And also, he would be in violation of the specific Isser of Naziris, and therefore he would be subject to Malkus for that. So the continuity from Nedarim to Nazir, that we understand. And we also have to look back to Nedarim in order to understand the nature of Nazir, because there's a lot that's very mysterious about Nazir. And in order to address that, the best place is to look back to Nedarim, so exactly one Masechta ago, because today is Nazir Daf Yud, and Nedarim Daf Yud, it's one of the major places where the Gemara takes up this topic of how to relate to the Nazir. Is the Nazir a holy person, or is he a sinner? Or is she a sinner? That's also a question. You know, it's also not a question, but it's a question in the sense we're familiar with. So Rav Schechter is famous for asking many things, but one of the things that's very memorable is that when he interviews guys for the kollel, so he wants to see if they're well-versed in the basics. So he asks the question, can a woman be a Nazir? And the wrong answer is to say no. And the half-wrong answer is to say yes, it's a Mishnah. Because the real answer is a Pasuk. A Pasuk is very explicit, that Ish O Isha Ki Azir Nazir Lahafli, that the Torah very clearly identifies this as a concept that could apply either to men or to women. And that fact, that question from his Bechinas is so resonant that, and I had the opportunity a few times to portray Rav Schechter in the Purim Spiels, so always would incorporate that somehow into the lines. So this question of whether a woman can be a Nazir, so then that became, I guess, the most memorable part to Rav Schechter about the Purim Spiels. So he always makes reference to how that always makes it into the Spiel. So that idea becomes, that's how you make sure something is memorable. So indeed, it sticks. So there's no question. You don't remember the Pasuk, at least remember the Purim Spiel, so you know that a woman certainly can be a Nazir. But whether it's a man or a woman who takes on Naziris, so the question of whether it's a good thing or a bad thing is a little bit of an open question. Because the Torah talks about him bringing a korban, and it describes that korban as coming as a kapara for the chet. So what exactly is the chet there? So this is a discussion in the Gemara in the Nedarim and Daf Yud. And the opinion of Rav Lazar HaKafar is that this is because he sier atzmo min hayayin, because he held back from drinking wine. And this is not necessarily an encouragement to drink a lot, but it's a reflection of the fact that we have a notion that the permissible hanas of this world are meant to be available to us. And this is also very much an Adarim theme, and that's why the Gemara invokes it there, that the Gemara in this place in Maseches Nedarim is discussing the fact that when one imposes upon himself restrictions that are beyond what the Torah has, so it's not necessarily a good thing. And the Yerushalmi has that expression, lo dai lecha masha asra Torah. Is it not sufficient for you what the Torah already prohibited? So why are you getting involved in additional Yisurim? And the notion to be reflected here apparently is that the Torah is not just about avoiding things, but it's a specific, careful balance. And once you tamper with that, so who knows exactly where that's going to take you. And it also isolates you. That's how the Gemara talks about Nedarim, or it sounds like that's what it's talking about, at least that's how the Maharal understood it, that the Gemara has a reference to making a neder as somebody who makes a private mizbeach for himself, a bama for himself. And on the one hand, you might think that the Gemara is criticizing Nedarim because you create a dangerous situation for yourself. You may not come to fulfill it, and then you're going to be in trouble. But then the Gemara also has the opinion that just like making a neder is as if you built a bama, but fulfilling it is as if you offered a sacrifice on the bama. So apparently it's not only a problem to break the nether, it's even a problem to keep the nether that you made. And the Maharal understood that that's because it's separating yourself from the community, taking on a whole different kind of lifestyle. So to that extent, that has a negative to it, and the Maharal understood that that's why the comparison is there to a bama. A bama is somebody who has his own private backyard mizbeach. He's not a part of the tzibur, and taking on a neder has that kind of an impact. So all the more so, presumably, that's the case when it comes to Naziris. The Naziris is a much more blatant kind of neder, and to go back again to Rav Schachter's terminology, the way he translates nazir in English is a monk. And a monk certainly has a connotation of somebody who is separate from society and somebody who has isolated himself. So the question of whether that's good or bad seems to be a little bit up in the air here. So here you have this opinion on the Darim Daf Yud that this individual is a chote, and that's why the korban is being brought, because he's here atzmam and hayayin, and the Gemara also compares this to hayoshev betainus, to somebody who takes on unnecessary additional fasts and therefore avoids food overall, and when that's not necessarily helpful, were beneficial, so that's also seen in this framework as some kind of an avera. And in fact, the Gemara in Bava Kamma on the Psari Aleph, the Gemara has a discussion there about the prohibition of chavala. We're not allowed to wound other people. And the Gemara wants to figure out, how do we know that it's not only about other people, but that even if one inflicts a wound upon himself, hachovo ba'atzmo, so there's also a prohibition involved. And the Gemara there comes back to this, to this idea that the nazir is called a chote, al shetzir atzmam and hayayin, and it's understood to be a kal v'chomer, that if just abstaining from wine is enough reason to label the person a sinner, so all the more so if he actually inflicts a wound upon himself, so you can see kal v'chomer, that's certainly going to be in that category. So that's noteworthy because the Rambam paskins that din of chovel ba'atmo. So if we really treat that as the actual drasha, if we really see that as the source, so then that's very striking. Apparently, indeed, that's what the Torah is talking about when it calls the nazir a chote, because he was involved in abstaining in ways that weren't necessarily necessary. There is a question that one could ask, as the Gemara discusses, the other opinion of the Gemara here, is that the pashtus of the pasuk is not like that. The pashtus of the pasuk is that the issue of the nazir is not the fact that he was abstaining from wine, but that when it's talked about as a sinner, it's a reference to the fact that he could be a nazir tameh, that a nazir who allowed himself to become tameh is one of the three central prohibitions of nazirus. So that's what we're talking about by calling him a sinner. So that could be, on the one hand, that could be a refutation of the view of Rabbi Elazar HaKafar that the very act of Naziris is itself an Avera, but it could also be they go together. That's how the Ibn Ezra understands. He writes there that Schar Avera Avera, or Avera Goreris Avera, that one sin leads to another. That essentially, yes, what he did that was technically sinful was allowing himself to become Tameh, but that was an outgrowth of the fact that he got involved in Naziris in the first place. If he hadn't taken on a neder of Naziris, so then there wouldn't have been an Isser of Tumah that would have been relevant to him. So because of the first Avera, so that's what got him into the second Avera. So it's not necessarily a contradiction to call the Tumah the Avera. That itself is only there because of the first Naziris, and maybe it reflects the fact that one problem leads to another, which was also kind of the subtext in Nedarim, that when the Gemara started objecting to Nedarim, that was what you would assume was the issue, that you're causing yourself a michshol by putting an isser there, that now there's something you're able to violate, when before the neder that wouldn't have been a possibility. But then we said there's more to it as well, but maybe that's also what's reflected here, the way the Ben Ezra understands, that one avera leads to another. However, there is also a school of thought which sees the Nazir very differently and sees the Nazir as some kind of a hero. And what kind of a hero is a question. There are a number of different comparisons that you find in the Midrashic literature and elsewhere. Some Midrashim, the Nazir is compared to a Kohen. And that just like the Kohen Gadol specifically, is uniquely Kodesh, so the Nazir is in that vein. And there seems to be a very positive comparison, and the notion being that there is something to be said positively about separating from too much of the tanugos olam hazeh, from too much of the distractions, from too much of the luxuries. So the same way that a Kohen Gadol has a certain level of elevated responsibility, and to some extent there's an overlap in detail with Nazir, and in other cases it's different, but the idea that we certainly see the Kohen Gadol as separate in a positive way, so that impression is also associated in some of the Midrashim with the Nazir, that he's separated in a positive way, and therefore that's something to admire. Others understand it positively as well, but for a different reason, not necessarily because you're just parish in that sense, because you're somebody who's separate from too much luxury and too much unnecessary distracting enjoyment, but also because it's specifically a reaction. So we mentioned that the Gemara discusses what the placement is here with Nedarim and Nazir and Sota in the middle of Seder Nashim, and the Gemara tells us that there is one big story here, that Haroa Sota Bikalkula, that if one is unfortunate enough to witness the consequences for a Sota, for an adulterous wife, so he should be Mazer Atzmo Yazer Atzmo Hayayin, that he should take on this vow of Nazirus to abstain from drinking wine. And the assumption being that it's drunkenness and frivolity that led to the adultery, and that it didn't come out of nowhere, it came from this loss of discipline. So the Nazir who sees this, and that's itself something to comment upon, because there's no assumption that he necessarily was responsible for it, but somebody who is exposed to this kind of a downfall of another person should take the lesson and set up a extra safeguard for himself. So therefore, to take on Naziris, and that's how we get this whole Hemshech here, that you have Nadar and Nazir Sota, that Nazir is a type of Nadar, and it's a type of Nadar that's a reaction to the Sota. So the idea that somebody would take on this kind of responsibility in reaction to what he sees, in reaction to being aware of the dangers of losing control, so that's something which should be seen as Kadosh, it should be seen as holy, and some emphasize that for that reason. That's why we have a positive view towards the Nazir, and to recognize that sense of responsibility that he's taking on is also very impressive. The Gemara right before this in Nedarim and Daf Tes Amud Beis, the Gemara talks about the Nazir from the south who focused on a different detail, who focused on the fact that he felt himself being sucked into materialism and to narcissism because he was so proud of his hair, he saw his reflection. I mean, it's actually where the narcissism comes from. Narcissus had the same kind of attitude, that he looked at his image and he was so taken in by it, so he was so admiring of his own flowing locks that he said, I can't get pulled into that, and therefore I'm going to commit that these will be cut off, because even though the Nazir does grow his hair long, but ultimately at the end of that process, so it gets cut off, so that was what he was focusing on, and that ability to recognize where there's potentially a danger is something that is considered praiseworthy, and therefore for that reason perhaps he's called the Kodesh in the same sense. He's called holy, and he's compared whether to a Kohen or to a Malach in some Midrashim, focusing on that fact, compare him to an angel. An angel also doesn't have human needs, so somebody who's able to portray himself, to put himself in an angelic context, so perhaps that's the nature of the idea. And some of the Mefarshim suggest, the Or Chaim has a comment that he compares it to a king and says that the language of Naziris is a similar related word to a Nazir. A Nazir is a crown. So just like a king wears a crown, so too an individual takes upon Naziris, that's a crown, because that is a reflection of his ability to control himself and to master his desires, and that's impressive. That's where a Kovish is Yisro, that's real Gevura, that's what a king is really about. So therefore, the language of Naziris is perhaps associated with that. So if this is the idea, now we see Naziris positively, so then that could also be a different explanation of why the Torah refers to a chait in the Korban. And the Ramban explains in his commentary to Chumash that the idea of a chait that we're referring to here is the stopping of the Naziris. That Naziris should have been really a permanent lifestyle, that this is something which really should have been the way to live overall, but we don't expect that people are necessarily capable of that. But the concept is one to look up to, and it's something that the Torah gives us as an experience one could choose to go through for whatever period of time he feels that he's able to. And the fact that one then goes back to all of the issues of normal life, the Ramban suggests that's why it's called a chait. That's where there is an aver, not in the taking on of the Naziris, but in the stopping of the Naziris. Beno Bachya understood it a little bit differently, that he thought that the idea is simply a chiddush HaTorah. The Gemara in the beginning of Nazir has that language, that it's a Chiddush HaTorah, this Korban, and it has its own special category, its own special status, and maybe that also reflects some of the complexity here. It's somewhat of an Aveira, it's somewhat of a mitzvah, it's somewhere in the middle, it's somewhat of a reaction, and sometimes there's a need for one, sometimes there's a need for another, but also to recognize on each side what is lost, and therefore this mixture of attitudes that we find towards the Naziris is all, they're all true. Every part of it has some truth to it, that on the one hand, theoretically, we're meant to be able to appreciate the hanos of these world, and therefore one who cuts himself off from that is therefore doing something wrong. At the same time, there is a risk that comes with too much of a focus on the hanos of this world, and therefore one who is able to appreciate that should be credited for that. And therefore, in that sense, the Nozer is a very positive role model. And then in the middle also, maybe not always, but when there's a recognition that there is a greater degree of lack of control in the world, and there is adultery and sota and everything else going on. So to calibrate to that specifically and to have that kind of awareness is something which is to be praised in that sense. So they're all true. Every part of it has its place and has its relevance, and it all depends on seeing it in its right context and understanding what role it plays. So Lamaisa, if we assume that Naziris is not meant to be a permanent state, whether it's good or bad, there is a concept of Naziris Shimshon, which is the, as the name indicates, is Naziris that Shimshon took on, or that his mother took on before he was born. That's a whole different concept. It does theoretically exist as a model. One should be very careful in talking about it because there's no hatara. There's no way to undo Naziris Shimshon. It's a permanent state, and there's no way to undo it. There's actually a tshuva in the Minchas Yitzchak where he wrote about somebody who got himself in the situation and whether there was any kind of a remedy to that, because theoretically it's not something that is given to reversal, while a normal nether normally has such a concept of hatara, of she'ela, and Nazir Shimshon is different. So that's a permanent situation. That's something we read about in Navi. We don't read about in Chumash, although there are midrashim that suggest it's also hinted at in the pasuk in Nasa, and that the language of Isha, so that we mentioned before, is to tell us that it applies to men or to women, but maybe you wouldn't have thought you needed to be told that. Maybe it could have just been considered general. So there's a medrash that suggests that there's a reference here to Shimshon, whose situation was brought on by his mother. So that's the Isha, and that some of the languages in the Psukim are invoking the Naziris of Shimshon. But the normal Naziris is a concept that's of limited time, and one can specify how long he wants to be a Nazir for. But if he doesn't specify, so the Gemara says that Stam Naziros is Shloshim Yom. The average basic default Naziris is 30 days. And the Gemara ties that to a pasuk with the Gematria, because the language of the Torah is Nazir Yihyeh. So Yihyeh, if you add up the letters, comes to 30. So 30 days of Naziris is the default. Rav Shechter, to quote him one more time. So he often points out that he thinks there's an overemphasis on gematrias, especially in the elementary schools. The kids come home and all the Divrei Torah about gematrias. He's not a huge fan of that. And he maintains that even though we have many different kinds of midos, shatar, nidreshes, we have all kinds of ways that we pay attention to details and words, and we actually learn halachas from them, He says gematria is not one of them, that that's not a legitimate tool for learning out halachos, and that even though in this one place, the Gemara says that stam nazira shloshim yom, and you can see that from Yia, he says it's not really the source of the din, that they had a mesorah, that nazira's default is stam is 30 days, and the Gemara gives you a way to remember it by looking at the gematria of Yia, but that's not really the source of the halacha. We don't learn any halachos from gematrias, as he maintains, and even when it seems like that's the case, it's really telling us something else. But we could suggest also that looking specifically to a default of 30 days, so the Torah does in that context also, but here it doesn't spell it out. But if you want to say that the Zeris is a concept that we're meant to avail ourselves of when it's appropriate, but it's not meant to be a permanent state, so then how do you evaluate how long it should be? So especially when you see it in the context of Sota, when the Gemara makes this derivation, that just like somebody who sees a sota should react by taking on naziris, so it could be that, and then that's how some of the Bali Musar understand, that the praise is that this is somebody who's aware that there's a danger, and there's a heightened danger because he sees where society is at, that there's a rampant immorality, and therefore he has to shake things up. So that's essentially what Naziris is saying that, okay, under normal circumstances, I can live as a non-Nazir, and everything will be okay, but when society is out of control, and when there's immorality rampant, so then I have to do something assertively to take control of my behavior and to shake things up out of rote and out of default. And that's a impressive decision, and that means that you're moving out of habit. And recently, in recent years, so psychologists try to figure out how long it takes to create a new habit. And the numbers all over the map, but they decided that the average, somehow, in a lot of books about habit formation, said that the average is 30 days. So 30 days, you want to create a new habit, is average of 30 days. I've also mentioned that's maybe that's also the notion of El, right? The month that we have, which there, that the Chazal connect to the Eishes Fas Torah. But the notion of having a 30 days before Rosh Hashanah to kind of shake us out of our routine and to create a new habit, that's a 30-day period. So too, if that's the idea of Naziris, that sometimes we have to specifically move out of normal situations and shake things up and create a new habit. So the default of it being 30 days is perhaps an understandable default. Maybe it should be longer, maybe it should be a very different period of time, and maybe every individual knows himself and needs to calibrate what that number should be, but maybe the idea of a default of 30 days kind of matches the default assumption or the average 30 days for a habit is perhaps some kind of a linkage there. Sorry?
Gemara says that the shear of the gil sayar is shloshim yom. Mm-hmm. That's really a big, it seems, a motivation for the 30 days.
For it being a default.
Yeah.
Yeah, also true. Yeah, so the notion of Naziris in general. The notion of Naziris in general as kind of a safeguard is one that we also find Chazal emphasizing, Schor Schor, Amrid L'Nazir, the Karma Chalo Sikra, that we tell the Nazir don't even come close to a Kerem, and that that's one of the languages that Chazal have emphasizing the notion of a sense of responsibility, of recognizing when they should impose some kind of limit, some kind of a siag. So the whole notion of Naziris is a siag. And we find within that other aspects of siag. So the Torah tells us that a Nazir is not supposed to drink wine. So presumably that's because of intoxication. That's how we've been understanding it, that it's because of lack of control that comes from wine. But we find that it's kind of exeris akasav also, because other things that are intoxicating, we don't necessarily find to be included in naziris if it's not from a grape. And at the same time, one could easily extrapolate as far as the spirit of the din. So certainly, hashkafically, one could understand that if the Torah is telling us that wine is dangerous, so nowadays the discussion is about marijuana and things like that and the impact things could have. It's one of the major issues going on in Teaneck right now, and the concern of the impact of allowing marijuana. So even though that's certainly not included in the din here, but as far as the hashkafa, as far as the mentality of it, we certainly can get the message. But going in the other direction, so the Torah does prohibit that which comes from a grape, even if it's not intoxicating. So that, the Medrash suggests, that that's an example of a siag min ha-Torah, that we have dinim in ha-Torah that are inherent. Most of the dinim in the Torah are for inherent purposes of their own sake. And normally we understand that the rabbinic laws are sometimes there as a safeguard, sometimes there is a siag. And Rav Yosef Engel made famous the idea in his Sefer Asva Daraisa. He has a whole discussion. Do we ever find that there is a din that's from the Torah itself that is there as a safeguard, that is there to protect other dinim of the Torah? So he quotes from the Medrash that there is this idea that the notion that a Nazir is not supposed to have any great product at all, so even if it's not intoxicating, that's a siag min haTorah, that really it's not inherently problematic to have non-intoxicating great products, but because that could get one to intoxicating great products, so therefore that's an example of a siag min haTorah, of a safeguard that's there from the Torah itself. And it was a big chiddush that the Prima Gadim had, that Rav Yosef Engel thought this went too far, but we speak about the, I think there's a proof we could bring for this, we'll talk about it a different time, but there's a notion of chatzi shir asur min haTorah, that when you have a prohibition, let's say, to eat chazer, so you're punishable if you have a kezias of chazer. But if you have even a little bit of chazer, so that's called a chatzi shir, and that's prohibited min haTorah. And even though it's an isur min haTorah, but that many of the achronim understood is also from a siag kind of perspective, that we're afraid if you have a little bite, like the potato chips are, you can't have just once. If you have a little bite of pork, so then even though you're not chayiv for less than a kezias, but then you'll come to eat the whole thing. So that's also a siag min haTorah. So the Prima Gadim had the idea that since the Gemara tells us, ein gozrin gezeira legezeira, we don't combine safeguards, we don't put one safeguard on top of the other. So if a nazir was to have a tiny quantity of grape products, so that would be mutter, because that would be a combination of two safeguards, the idea of the grapes themselves being a safeguard for wine, and the chatzi shir being a safeguard, so we wouldn't combine the two, and we'd say that that would be permissible. So that was an astounding idea. Rav Yosef Engel thought that was going too far, because normally the idea of ein gozrin gezeira legezeira is referring to the fact that we're dealing with rabbinic law. So the rabbis don't make a new prohibition that's a safeguard on top of a safeguard. But if it's all coming from the Torah itself, so what right do we have to assume that that rule applies? So I think there's a way you could explain it, but we won't do that tonight. That's a whole more involved discussion, but maybe it also reflects the fact that there's a concept that's involved in a safeguard, whether it's rabbinic or not. There's a mentality. And it's a question how many safeguards you need. It is a fundamentally different kind of idea. And Aziris, in its very nature, seems to have the notion of a siag, of a safeguard built into it, and it's reflected in many of the halachos, and that's how we find that it applies in such a way that it creates this sense of protection, and that's what the mentality seems to be, and sometimes it's appropriate and sometimes it's too much, and to know exactly when that's the case, to know when the safeguard is more than necessary and when it causes harm, and to know when it's just appropriate and when it fits, so that takes an amount of chach. That takes judgment. That's how the Torah Tamima understands the idea of ein gozrin gezeira legezeira, that you have to be able to figure out what exactly is appropriate and what isn't, because at the same time, the Torah also says that kol hamosif gareya, that whoever adds on takes away, and the Gemara points to the fact that Chava, Adam and Chava and Began, they got into trouble because Chava seemed to be under the impression that God said, don't even touch the tree, when really he said, don't eat from the tree. And because that didn't bring about an immediate consequence, you thought that the whole thing was meaningless. And the Gemara says, kalamosif gareya. And as the Torah Tamima discusses, that's surprising, because we do add on, we do create safeguards. So how can you tell me it's bad to create safeguards? This probably made sense. It probably seemed like a good idea. If God said not to eat from the tree, so you shouldn't even touch the tree, it makes sense. So he has a whole discussion there about you have to know when it's calibrated properly and when it's not. When it's right, the right measure of safeguards, so then it's a good idea. When it's too far and it creates a misleading impression or it creates too much of an imbalance, so then it's problematic. And it takes a lot of chachmah to be able to calibrate when it is and when it isn't. And that perhaps seems to be the mentality here as well, that nazir is both good and sometimes less good and sometimes in the middle and sometimes it's very circumstantially dependent. And all of that takes chachmah to appreciate and to recognize. And given the fact that it does seem to react to circumstances, and I'll just close by noting, especially here for tonight, that we spoke about during the 9 days, the question of siyumim during that time, and many of the achronim were very opposed, and yet there's a big min klal Yisrael to allow it, and the whole debate that surrounds that concept of having meat and wine during the 9 days in the context of a siyum. So we mentioned that it could be connected to a Gemara in Bava Basra, that the Gemara says in Daf Samach in Bava Basra that there was an attitude which evokes this whole notion of nazirus, not literal, not directly, but it seems to be of the same mentality, that after the Churban HaBayis, there was an attitude that people had that we shouldn't ever eat meat or drink wine again. That if we can't have a Beis HaMikdash where we can bring Korbanos and where we can have wine for Nisuch purposes, and then we shouldn't enjoy it either, and we should abstain from meat and wine forever. And the Gemara said that wasn't reasonable and it wasn't tenable, wasn't sustainable. And it went on to say also, so we should never have fruit either because we can't have Bikurim, and we should never have water because we can't have Nisuch HaMayim. So this is not going to be tenable. It's not going to be a plan that works. So therefore, we can't allow that. We're not going to recommend that. But during the 9 days, so it seems that we have a little bit of that, that there's a lot of appropriateness to recognize. Sometimes it's more intense, and the notion of Churban is felt with a greater focus. And therefore, even if we can't say forever, we're not going to have meat and wine, but during the 9 days, so we'll abstain from meat and wine. So we explained that over the summer, that this notion of not having meat and wine during the 9 days, that's not avelus per se. An avel is allowed to have meat and wine. It's not necessarily a function of avelus. It's a recognition of the fact that if we can't have it in that context, so we don't want to have this in other contexts either. If we can't have it in the holy context, so we don't want to have it in the normal enjoyment context. So if that's the case, so maybe the notion of a siyum during the 9 days, the reason that, at least in some circles, that's become accepted and become considered a positive thing is because we're saying that this is what we want to go back to, that the notion of meat and wine, specifically in the context of Kedusha, specifically when it is bringing us into a positive holy purpose, is not an exception, it's not a compromise in the 9 days, but maybe it's a highlighting of the theme, that we want to go back to that when we are able to use these things positively and able to be uplifted by them. So here also, so we had a siyum tonight, so to talk about Naziris in the context of a siyum, and here we have meat at the siyum, so this is a reminder of when things like that are elevated and are used for a purpose of Kedusha, and this very much helps us to appreciate this theme of Naziris, that there are times when we shouldn't hold back, there are times when we need to hold back a little bit more, there are attitudes that are appropriate for some circumstances and not for others, and a part of the message of Naziris is to develop the Chachma, develop that sense of wisdom to know exactly what is appropriate when is too much, when is too little, when is it a time that requires a special reaction, when do we need to shake things up a little bit and go out of our routine and create a new habit before going back to the world with a new set of kelim? And that's very much a message of all of Maseches Nazir. So to be able to discuss that here in the context of a siyum is perhaps especially appropriate. We should take that lesson to the learning of Maseches Nazir, that the few weeks that we have the opportunity in the course of Daf Yomi to study this Masechta should be a pocket in time when there is an inspiration and a sense of elevated consciousness that comes along with that and that is able to take us through the rest of the 7.5 years and lift us to a new place. Yeshikoach, Mazel Tov, the only good things.